بسم الله الذي لا إله سواه، والحمد لله حمدا يليق بجلال وجهه وبعظيم سلطانه، والصلاة والسلام على نبيه الأمين وآله الطيبين وصحابته الغر الميامين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. رب زدنا علما ولا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. Let us continue our discourse and journey of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through tazkiyatun nafs, through khalwa. And the last session was concluded by mentioning some of the adab, the practical adab of conduct in one's khalwa, after having talked about the adab of niyyah for entering in khalwa. And one of the last points I would like to mention is in a sense a form of adab, but a form also of a reminder. And that is to realize that, of course, for many people, many human beings, and I don't know, perhaps to say most human beings is not an exaggeration, for most of us perhaps khalwa is very difficult. To be in khalwa, to be in retreat, to be alone, like Pascal said, is very, very difficult to be alone in an empty room. Why is that so? I'm going to say something that will help us, and also when we say more in this hour and the next one in the afternoon, that will become even more apparent. We will not have enough sabr and patience for khalwa, generally because inside of us there is an attachment to the elements of dunya, whether mal or jah. Mal is property, and by property I mean all that which is ownable by a human being. And jah is all that which have to do, all that which has to do with interacting with people and desiring the hearts of people and the reputation in the hearts of people. As long as we have those in our hearts, and as long as we have them in a disproportionate factor, it will be very difficult to be alone without furniture. Very difficult to sit alone for any extended period of time and without furniture. And therefore, unless one somehow, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and through exertion and struggle to disconnect himself or herself from these things, if that does not occur, then that will be very difficult. And therefore the fruits of khalwa, beautiful fruits of khalwa, will not be available for us to reap. The next point connected to this one is to realize, my dear brothers and sisters, for those of us who are beginning this process, for those of us who may have been in this process, we are to realize that if a person in his or her solitude, in his or her retreat, through dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and through fikr as well, tafakkur, has been unable And that is usually perhaps because he or she was unwilling, or because there is something in the heart that has to be discovered, perhaps through a teacher. That if one has not, by that, reached an uns with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that uns, that feeling of solace and of comfort and of peace and of delightful, sweet peace in being alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If one has not experienced that and has not felt that uns stronger than his or her uns with other creatures, in particular human beings, in his wahda, in his solitude, then, as one scholar rahimahullah ta'ala said, then he said, for such a person, the loneliness in the grave will be terrible. If one in his earthly loneliness, nay, in his earthly solitude, in his earthly retreat, that either he or she chooses, or sometimes imposed upon him or her, does not find solace and peace and does not rejoice in the companionship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then when we die, when we enter the world of al-barzakh, when we enter that other dimension of existence, of living, no doubt about it, it will be very solitary. Then imagine yourself alone in a grave, and you live, you exist in its dimension, the dimension of the barzakh. If I could not bear to be alone on this earth in the physical existence, I could not draw, irhamukillah, I could not draw from that peace, I could not draw from that connectedness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how could I be in solace and in peace and not in wahsha, in this terrible agony and agitation and restlessness? How could I not be in that state when I am alone in my grave? If when I'm alone, I repeat again, on the surface of this earth, I am agitated, I can't stand to be alone, I agonize, I'm restless, I've got to get out of this, I've got to do something, I find no solace and no joy and no rejoicing, how can I find anything close to that when I'm under the surface of this earth? You understand, my brothers and sisters, you are believers. You believe in the barzakh. Can you see this analogy? It is real. So if I have that in my qalb, in my heart, this truth, this reality, it becomes an adab in my khalwa. I focus more, I want to rejoice. And if I want to rejoice, if I have the will to rejoice in that retreat, in that solitude, I will conduct myself, I will exert myself in ways that will help me, by Allah, do that. Instead of easily allowing my mind to soar, I wouldn't say soar, rather to fly low, reflecting on ball games and television shows and X and Y and Z and so on. I'd rather be there than here. I'd rather want this to be over as soon as possible. And if I know this, if I know it, and if I take it, as I have many times reminded you and myself, if I take it as a regular diet of ilm, regular diet of ilm, I know these things, I repeat them, and I read them, and I memorize them, and I reflect on them, they will help me. They will help me, inshallah, be in khalwa and bear the fruits of khalwa. One of them had said, rahimahullah ta'ala, when the night comes, I think it was it Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, I forgot who it was. When the night falls, I delight, for now I can be alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in moments of retreat at night. Everything is quiet, people don't come visit me, I don't come to visit people, I don't go to visit people, I'm not distracted. When morning breaks, I am afraid, for now I have to be with people and I have to be distracted. I mean, look at this. Reverse of what the other one said, the one who cannot be alone in an empty room. This one who wants to be alone in an empty room. Because what he or she found in that emptiness, fullness. And you know why also? Sometimes we cannot stand to be alone with our own selves. We cannot be alone. We don't stand to be alone with our own selves. Huh? And it makes so much sense. Wallahi al-azim, and it is true and it is experienced. The self and you, it's like another one. But if that self of mine is empty from virtues, when my nafs is empty from virtues, when I'm alone, I am really alone. Because I'm with emptiness. Because my nafs inside of me is empty of virtues. But if my nafs inside is rich in virtues, filled with virtues, then I have someone to be with. There is something to be with. And when I'm empty from virtues, there is no self to be with. Because it's an empty self. And therefore I seek to compensate for that by being around people. By having to be around people. I'm not saying that being around people is inherently wrong. No, we shall say more about it, inshallah ta'ala. And we have before spoken in some details about this. And that khalwa, as I said, is not good, is not inherently valuable. And being with people is not inherently valuable or ugly. But it depends on what khalwa does to me and what mukhalata does to me, being with people does to me. If being with people, the right type of people, the right kainun ba'in, the right type of people brings me nearer, brings my heart nearer to Allah, then that's what I should be. But if being with people brings my qalb away from Allah Azza wa Jal, then that's not what I should be. Why? Because I was created to walk a journey of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's ubudiyya. I was created, I was born to die. I was born, the day I was born, to die. To die meaning to undertake a journey of going back home. Back home is where you and I all originated, in Jannah, in the home of peace, as Allah Azza wa Jal calls it, Darus Salam. And He invites us to the home of peace. Allahu yad'u ila Darus Salam. That's why I was born, with an ultimate purpose. So, khalwa, I seek it because generally that's what it helps me with. Generally being with general people, that does not help me. On the contrary, it hinders me in my journey. This will initiate me to talk about more about the benefits of khalwa. At this point, I finished with sharing with you some of the, I believe, Allah Ta'ala alam, some of the essential adab of being in khalwa. Now, there are benefits of khalwa. And these are, of course, when we know them, and when the mu'min knows them, they would motivate you or me, and me, to seek khalwa. Again, I repeat, khalwa even for some moments daily. 15 minutes a day, an hour a day, few hours a day, dispersed here and there if I cannot have it through a prolonged interval of time. Or through some days, or through some months, or and so on. Of course, until perhaps one day, Allah Azza wa Jal will take the qalb of the person to be uninterrupted khalwa. And the first benefit, which is basically very, very related, or which is perhaps also what I've already mentioned about this last adab, and about the fourth point who mentioned about the niyyah in entering into khalwa, is we enter the benefits of khalwa is at-tafarrughu lil-ibadah wa lil-fikr. At-tafarrughu lil-ibadah wa lil-fikr wa lil-unsi billah azza wa jalla an الأنس بالناس. التفرغ, تفرغ is from تفرغ يتفرغ فراغ, which means فراغ, one of the meanings of فراغ is emptiness. تفرغ is to تفرغ means to make myself free and empty and liberated from anything else except that which I am seeking. And in khalwa, the benefit of it is that very freedom that I have, and that very chance for me to fill up all my time with ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because I don't have that usually, because I have to do other things. I have to divide my time sometimes. Sometimes I have to. But in opportunities of khalwa, alhamdulillah, all my time is reserved for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here it is very consistent with what Allah desires from us. And there is a beautiful hadith, an authentic hadith, where Allah Azza wa Jal says in Hadith Qudsi, يَا ابْنَ آدَمَ تَفَرَّغْ لِعِبَادَتِي أَمْلَأْ صَدْرَكَ غِنَى وَأَسُدَّ فَقْرَكَ, which means, O child of Adam, تَفَرَّغْ, same word is used in this Hadith Qudsi, تَفَرَّغْ لِعِبَادَتِي, O child of Adam, تَفَرَّغْ for my ibadah, fill up your time, free yourself, liberate yourself from any preoccupation except myself. See, that's the concept of emptiness in Islam. At-tafarruhu lillah. To empty yourself except from Allah Azza wa Jalla. That's why there is a concept in Islam of, in tazkiyah, of takhalli and tahalli. At-takhalli is, from which also is the root of khalwa, at-takhalli is when I free myself, I disengage myself, I empty my heart, my inner self, from any ailment of the qalb, of the heart, from any contaminant, from any pollutant, spiritually and morally speaking. Greed, anger, prejudice, hate, and so on. And I empty my heart from shirk, associationism of Allah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of partners, hawa, shahwa, and so on. I empty myself of all of those ugly characteristics and atahalla, and then tahalli. Tahalli means to embellish oneself. That's why al-hulya means jewelry for a woman. Hulya is a word for jewelry. So at-tahalli is when I embellish myself, but not with jewelry, external jewelry, but with gems and pearls of personality traits, of generosity, and before that of course, of tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, of iman, of modesty, of haya, of forgiveness, of pardon, and so on. So تفرغ يا ابن آدم تفرغ لعبادتي أملأ قلبك غنى. If you do so, I shall fill up your chest with richness. Subhanallah. تفرغ لعبادتي, I shall fill up your heart with richness. And what is richness in this case? There is no greater richness in this case than what? To find that uns with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To find that uns with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To find that uns with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why one of them had said, طُوبَى لِمَنْ عَاشَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَعَاشَ لِمَنْ عَاشَ الدُّنْيَا وَعَاشَ الْآخِرَةِ. طُوبَى لِمَنْ عَاشَ الدُّنْيَا وَعَاشَ الْآخِرَةِ. Oh, what a delightful living and abode is the abode of the one who lived in this life and lived in the hereafter. And he was asked, what is living in this life and living in the hereafter? He said, living in this life is when you are in uns with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life. And when you are fi jiwarihi in akhirah. When you live in this life with that, subhanAllah, with that again, profound, deep sense of solace and of peace with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of you must know what I mean. At least if we have felt it sometimes, even for 1 minute, or 1 minute is very long sometimes. Feeling that uns with Allah Azza wa Jal for few seconds, Wallahi al-Azim, gives strength, as far as I'm concerned, for 3 years of delightful ibadah in servitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you just want it back, those 3 seconds again. Let alone 3 minutes, or 3 hours, or 3 days, or 3 weeks, or 3 months, or 3 years. That is the delight of living in this world. And the delight of living in Akhirah is to be literally in that dimension, in the company of the divine being. In this world, it is the qalb that seeks that. In the hereafter, Allah Azza wa Jal will be there in the way it pleases Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, to manifest Himself to His creatures. And you know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught that the greatest delight that the inhabitants of Jannah will have in Jannah is ru'ya Allah Azza wa Jal, is to see Allah Azza wa Jal. But seeing is not four-dimensional. See of seeing in that dimension. The greatest of all delights. And therefore, have they said, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, he who or she who has never been any way near Allah Azza wa Jal while in this world, will never be nearer to Allah Azza wa Jal in the next world. And therefore, those who live in this dunya, my brothers and sisters, who know the benefit of this, of khalwa, and whose hearts are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or are very committed to connecting to Allah Azza wa Jal, the people who have been holding fast to the rope of the Qur'an, and to the rope of the beautiful, sweet way, sweet-smelling path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who have experienced this delight of khalwa cannot be but in khalwa. Cannot be but in khalwa. That's a higher level. Because once they're not in khalwa, their presence amongst people will be a veil against their hearts between them and Allah Azza wa Jal. Do you know what I mean? Like dhunub, like when we commit sins, when we disobey Allah Azza wa Jal, every time you or I, afana Allah wa iyyakum, we disobey Allah Azza wa Jal without proper, sincere tawbah, there is a veil on our heart, or there is at least a spot on our heart that will partially blind our inner heart. And that blindness is a veil between the heart and Allah Azza wa Jal. Every time there is a dhanb, and the more dhunub there are, the more dots and the more dots, until they will form a veil, an invisible supra-dimensional veil that disconnects or disengages our hearts from Allah Azza wa Jal, and then it's misery, then it's pain, then it's restlessness, then it's agitation, then it's fear. And And for those people, as I was saying, being with others is a veil between them and Allah Azza wa Jalla. And it is practically impossible, except for very few, to be with people and still being connected with Allah Azza wa Jalla. Your qalb being connected with Allah Azza wa Jalla. And that's for the very few. Some awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would perhaps reach this other concept of kainun ba'in. He or she will be with people, but away from people. With people physically, but with his or her heart with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kainun ba'in. But you or I, please forgive me, I should say I don't know about you, I should not think and believe that I am close to that state, or I can afford to be oftentimes with people and still preserve the connectedness, or at least the journey to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as far as I'm concerned. Because that only happens when the qalb has been filled with the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in the case of the anbiya, with the nur of nubuwa. When a person becomes a nabi, when his heart is filled with nur of nubuwa, then he is kainun ba'in. That's why perhaps, we know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to spend extended periods of time in khalwa before he was a Nabi. Before he was a Nabi, and the character that he had, of course, that you, many of you know of, this beautiful character that he had even before he was a Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, and how Allah azza wa jal reared him and nourished him and prepared him even in times of jahiliyyah to becoming this gem amongst the stones later. Nevertheless, during that time, and especially in the last 3 years before he became a Nabi, he used to do what? He used to go into full khalwa, full uzla for 1 month. And please bear with me for a moment. What type of azla? From where? Away from where? From the pollution of Mecca 14 centuries ago. Do you understand? How was Mecca 14 centuries ago? How did Mecca look like 14 centuries ago? As far as I'm concerned, and you, it looked like the most appropriate place to be in khalwa. Being in Mecca is being in khalwa, being in full khalwa. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to go away from people, from Mecca, to be in khalwa. You and me, we go to the countryside nowadays and we think it is khalwa. Nowadays, 14 centuries later, we go to the countryside. MashaAllah, what a khalwa this is. Well, used to go away from Mecca 14 centuries ago, away from Mecca to seek khalwa. And where? Have you ever been to Mecca? Have you ever seen Ghar Hira? Have you ever seen that Jabal, what is it called? The mountain Jabal al-Nur? Have you ever seen the place where he went? SubhanAllah, imagine it 14 centuries ago. Even now, because there are buildings almost everywhere up to that mountain. And what it takes you to walk in emptiness already. And the mount is very high. It looks like, subhanAllah, it looks like it comes up this way and then this way and then rather boulder, very high. It's very challenging to get there. It's like really away from everything. So quiet. And in 14 centuries ago, imagine that place. And there on the very top, there is a hole, a cave, which is about 4 yards by less than 2 yards. 4 yards of depth and about 2 yards of width, and you could in some places you could stand up. And he spent there his time day and night. He slept there day and night. When he slept, صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يتحنث في الغار الأيام الطويلة. And that عزلة was preparing him, filling him with all of these elements that we are talking about, filling him with that nur, filling the emptiness, going away from people to be in uns with this creator whom he yet is to know how to get to him, because he was not a Nabi. And he had to go away from people to focus. And if he was not focused amongst people, and he has to go away to focus, what will I say 14 centuries later if I yearn and long for going back home? Until his qalb was filled with the nur of nubuwah, then being with people does not distract him, because the nur of the nubuwah is hijab from others. The nur of his nubuwah becomes his veil from others, though he is with them. And to be able, of course, to undertake the responsibility of delivering the message, because delivering the message has to do with people, has to be done with people, to people. And that's why when you study his seerah, how could he be with people and yet be the way he was? Because his qalb was filled with the nur of that nubuwah. So he's with people, and many people, as one would study his seerah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, more than one, everybody thinks when they are with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions, as one companion said, when we are with him, every one of us thinks he's most beloved one. Every one of us thinks that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loves me most. And all of them wanted that. Who doesn't want that? Because of the way he is with them. To the extent that people at one point thought that his most beloved one, his Khalil, was Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda. Khalil from khilla, from takhallala in the Arabic language means what? And all of this has also the same root as khalwa and all of that. Takhallala means what in Arabic? To penetrate. And al-Khalil is called Khalil because his mahabba has penetrated the depth of the heart. That's why the poet said, قَدْ تَخَلَّلْتَ مَسْلَكَ الرُّوحِ مِنِّي وَبِذَا سُمِّيَ الْخَلِيلُ خَلِيلًا. This beautiful verse of poetry addressing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, تَخَلَّلْتَ مَسْلَكَ الرُّوحِ مِنِّي. You have penetrated the paths of my soul within me. That is why the Khalil has been called a Khalil. Now, that's why Ibrahim is Khalilur Rahman. Ibrahim alayhi salam is Khalilur Rahman because the mahabba of Allah Azza wa Jal has penetrated the innermost depths of his soul and left no space for anything else. So anyways, Abu Bakr was to be thought to be his Khalil. Because again, he's with people and it gives that impression because he's present, yet he's absent. And then he retorted, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, no. If I were to undertake anyone as my Khalil, I would have taken Abu Bakr as my Khalil. But my Khalil is Allah Azza wa Jal. لو كنت متخذا خليلا لاتخذت أبا بكر خليلا ولكن صاحبكم خليل الله كما جاء في رواية مسلم. Do you understand what I mean by this? This Nur of Nubuwa, and how that Nur of Nubuwa had given him, subhanAllah, this intrinsic ability or characteristic where he is with the world, but his heart is never distracted. He also said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, does anyone of you remember something in this connection? تَنَامُ عَيْنَايَ وَلَا يَنَامُ قَلْبِي, said he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In an authentic text, he even said, my eyes sleep, but my qalb never sleeps, even when he's sleeping. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So in the absence of that nur of nubuwa, creation becomes a veil for most of us. And that veil is thinner for some, thicker for others, depending on the degree of cleanliness and of purification of our hearts. Many of us, again, as I said earlier, we look at the elements of nature. We do not look through the elements of nature. We look at dunya. We do not look through dunya at the creator of dunya. We have so many distractions. The presence of others is the absence from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when we struggle and we exert ourselves in this tazkiyah, in beautifying our inner image, in beautifying our akhlaq, that veil will dissipate gradually and gradually and gradually. That's why when one of these types of people of awliya, rahimahumullah ta'ala, who perhaps did not view themselves as such anyways, was told, ma asbaraka ala al-wahda. How patient you are in being alone. You seem to love to be alone, to find no agitation in being alone. You show so much patience. In other words, they're telling them, your struggle of being alone is great, is magnificent. He replied, no. مَا أَنَا وَحْدِي أَبَدًا. I am never alone. أَنَا جَلِيسُ اللَّهِ. I'm always in the companionship of Allah. إذا شئت أن يناجيني قرأت كتابه وإذا شئت أن أناجيه صليت. I'm always جليس. You know, جليس. Here we are جلساء. Plural of جليس. We are جلساء. وتعالى الله عن الأمثال. May Allah be exalted from analogies. He said, I'm always جليس in the companionship of God, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I seek Him to speak to me in privacy, I read His words. I recite His words. I open the Qur'an, or I recite the Qur'an. Of course, that means with fullness of focus of my heart. As I feel those words coming from the Divine Being, penetrating my heart first, then coming to my lips. Not the opposite. That's one way I advise you and myself when you are in Salah, when we are in Salah and the Imam is reciting, you don't hear His words here in your ears, but you hear them in your heart. You hear them in your heart. They come into your heart. And then you hear them with your ears. And then when you recite yourself, it is revelation to you as you're reading those words. Your words have come to your heart. His words have come to your heart. And then you simply verbalize what's in your heart. That's why memorizing the Qur'an very, very well is very important for this point. Because if I don't memorize an ayah or a surah very, very well, it will not begin here. It will begin here with my tongue. But if I know it so well, I begin with its meaning inside of my heart. And as the words flow, they are as if for the first time being heard by me through my heart. And then my tongue only moves through the command of my heart. So he said to them, when I want to speak to him in privacy, I read his words. Now when I want him, to speak to me privately, I read his words. And when I desire myself to initiate, to speak to him privately, I stand up in Salah. So at all my times, when I am alone, I'm not alone. And wallahi al-azim, those who have this, for them to be alone in an empty room or an empty space, a year or two, is never boring. It's never boring. What is boring is to come out of that. This is true. This is not legends of medieval times. This is true. And one of them was told, we understand perhaps why you don't laugh. Why you don't laugh, why you don't indulge in laughing. But what about sitting and being in majalis with your brothers? يعني أنك لا تضحك نفهم ذلك ولكن ما يمنعك من مجالسة إخوانك. He replied, رحمه الله تعالى, إنني أجد راحة قلبي في مجالسة من عنده حاجتي. Why do that? It's to me this simple answer. because I find the raha of my heart. Everything is about what you feel, right? He says, because I find raha, rest, peace, inside my heart, when I am in the company of the one who has all what I need. Why do we go to others? Because one way or the other, they have something we need. What we need is not necessarily something material. Something we want. True or false? True. Think about it. So he says, why do I don't sit with others? Forgive me, not because I don't want them, but my purpose is achieved. My heart feels at peace and is at rest and is in comfort when I am in the company of the one who has all my needs, who can take care of all of my needs. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.